the tiki 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 room, in the tiki 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 room.
All the birds sing words
and the flowers croon
in the tiki 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 room.
Welcome to our tropical hideaway, you lucky people, you. If we weren't in the show starting right away.
And welcome back again. You are listening to Breakthrough Entertainment live on 1480 AM KPHX. I'm Dave Isaac, alongside Joseph, Jake, Erdo, Greg Isaac, Eric Reiner, Trisha. This is a song from the great Disneyland.
Enchanted Tiki Room.
Oh, I've been there. That's pretty cool. That's a nice, it's not a ride, but it's a show.
Right, right. Well, there's a lot of different, I mean, you can get these songs. There's
they have
different
that
CDs. Yeah, there's resort CDs. Of course, one that we didn't play, but I had Casey Jr.'s.
Oh, I love it.
Theme, of course, the Swiss Family Robinson Treehouse song.
Yeah, that's nice.
Be Our Guest restaurant.
Yes.
Be Our Guest. I haven't seen that one.
Well, it's a restaurant.
Well, it's a restaurant from Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, but I mean, so there's a lot of different songs that
the
are
the Jungle Safari Ride.
Jungle Cruise.
That one.
Yeah,
that's fun.
Yeah, and so we've got a few more songs coming up. I also, of course, this is Breakthrough Entertainment's Disney Park special or show or whatever you want to call it. Spectacular. What have you. But, of course, we were delighted to have on Dan Davis, right?
Yes.
But we also have on some other special guests, don't we, Eric? Don't play it right now. Wait.
Oh, yes.
Yes, yeah. No, okay, so
I have the list in front of me.
Right. Well, now, producer Jeff Jensen, he produced Tomorrowland. Of course, we reviewed it earlier. And he had some comments on how Tomorrowland ties into Disney's ideals. So let's hear about what Jeff Jensen has to say on that.
Tomorrowland is a great, essential, quintessential Disney movie because it's a movie for all people, but it's also a movie that's very kind of like steeped in the values of Walt Disney, that optimism, but also that edge. And it's also a very sophisticated movie. I mean, you're going to see some amazing special effects and some very cool storytelling. And Walt was a very innovative storyteller, and we try to sort of remain very kind of true to that spirit. But it really comes back to the optimistic, futuristic orientation that Walt embodied, that we see in places like Tomorrowland, that we see in places like Epcot, that we see in things like Walt's World's Fair work. Walt embodied so much of that sort of like mid-century optimism, that idea that if we just put our minds together, that we can actually accomplish something really, really great.
Yeah, and Walt Disney was an amazing guy. I mean, to think he made this a Disneyland, this park, just so his kids had some place to have fun, you know, basically initially, right? There's a lot of different interviews you can find online, but I mean, now he's made such a franchise or just something that the whole world identifies with. And now, Dave, now you know who Britt Robertson is, right?
Yes, I do.
Who?
It's the girl.
Yes, girl?
She's the girl of the NASA, the dad of the NASA.
Yes, she's the main girl, the dad, yeah.
That wears the NASA hat.
And very
pretty,
too.
She wears a NASA hat. Yeah, yeah. She, of course,
and smart.
She was in the longest
smart.
Ride.
Oh, she
yeah.
was?
Oh, no. Yeah, she was yeah. in the long, yeah. yeah. yeah.
That which was, I haven't seen yet, but.
Have you seen that?
No, but I want to see it.
We haven't
but,
seen it.
But she has right. a she has she that would be a more provocative role.
Yes, yes. So
she reminds me of the insurgent girl, sort of.
A little bit. Yeah.
Shailene Woodley.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And Britt Robertson also in Delivery Man with Vince Vaughn, one of his many kids.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
one that almost harms herself.
You know the movie? This is off topic. I keep watching Breaking Up with Vince Vaughn. That is an underrated movie. I think it was
The Breakup.
Oh, The Breakup. Wasn't that a good movie?
Breaking Bad, The Breakup. You know, he
wasn't
just
that,
combined them.
I liked it. My favorite part, real quick, sorry to get off topic, but I'll do it real quick, is when I think it's John Michael Higgins, I believe is his name, when they're all at dinner at the house and he plays, not Sandra Bullock, Jennifer Aniston's brother. And then all of a sudden he starts singing right in Vince Vaughn's face. He's like, "Lose Yourself."
Yeah.
And he's just that was good.
A cappella.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah, he's,
that was hysterical.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Britt Robertson, of course, she gets these scripts all the time, and you know, so she is going to tell us a little bit about why she chose Tomorrowland. Here's what she has to say about the story.
It was so different from anything else I had read in the sense that, you know, it wasn't based off a book. It, you know, it's a topic. Tomorrowland, I knew about sort of the geographical location in Disney World, but I didn't, there was no backstory. So that's what was so interesting. They found this really unique way of telling the story that people kind of have a connection to, but they don't, but you don't really understand, you know, where it comes from. And the story gives people a connection to Tomorrowland in a really beautiful way. And it has everything. It's like an action, adventure, drama. There's friendships, you know, there's family sort of drama that's happening. And it's all tied in so perfectly together.
Yeah. So, I mean, what better way? I mean, a lot of people criticize Disney for making these movies that are based on the park rides and attractions and stuff.
I think it's clever.
I think it's okay. I mean,
there's marketing.
Yeah, it is. And of course, Country Bears, I didn't care for, but it's still marketing, and it's no worse than any other, you know,
brilliant
inspiration for movies.
And they did come out with one, at least three or four great movies, the Pirates series. I still think
that's
one
a hit.
Of the best.
And I think they're still searching for that. And of course, It's a Small World is the next movie to be made.
They are?
Yes.
Really? You saw
yes,
that?
They are. Yes, they are. And I forget the exact director of it.
Will it be like the
John Turtletop?
Like
is
a horror
directing.
Version of it?
No,
that'd be weird.
They've already made that. We reviewed that last year.
Oh, we did.
Yeah, it was kind of a. It was. Remember the guy that basically brought a camera into Disneyland and or Disney World and filmed without them knowing.
That. Yeah, I do.
I didn't really care
that.
For that movie.
Yeah. I didn't think it was that great.
No, it wasn't. It was a good idea, but Disney would never allow something.
It was very strange.
Yeah.
Pirates of the Caribbean 5, of course, 2017. And as of now, rumored, it looks like it's official. Orlando Bloom will be back as
Yay!
Will Turner.
Yeah. So I wish the girl would be
Will.
Back. Oh, you don't like her.
Keira Knightley, nah. But Jeffrey Rush, of course, is Barbossa.
Excellent.
Great. And, of course, Captain Jack.
Oh, Charles. That's going to be good then. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that the idea is you always need a good theme. And so Damon Lindelof is the writer of not only Lost, but also, which was a very weird show. I loved it, but it got a little bit weird at times, and I could see how that got into Tomorrowland. He wrote Tomorrowland as well. So here's what Damon Lindelof had to say on the theme.
The promise of Tomorrowland is that that the future is what we make of it. And if we believe that the future is going to be better than the present, then that's not something that's going to happen on its own. We have to go out there and, you know, and make that change ourselves. And it really is a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you give up on the future is going to give up on you. And Tomorrowland is really this shining beacon of hope and a representation of this is what it looks like when you don't give up. This is what we are capable of. This is what we can achieve.
And that's a good theme, and I think we were talking a little bit off the air about how they could have done that, you know, solidified that theme a little bit better. But it's an honorable theme, of course, the man that we've all been waiting for, Jorge.
George.
Oh, George. Yes, George Clooney.
Who's Jorge?
Jorge.
He's dreaming.
Jorgito.
Jorge. Clooney. And of course, as Greg believes,
Spanish
the seventh sexiest man
for
alive,
George?
Right?
For George.
Oh.
Yeah, he is just like amazing, Joseph.
He's a guy. You've been a fan of his ever since ER.
Yeah, no, since Roseanne.
Ever since Roseanne.
Since Roseanne.
Yeah.
Wow,
he
wow.
was great. Jackie's boyfriend.
That mullet was awesome.
Yeah.
Well, he is the star of Tomorrowland. Here's what he has to say about Tomorrowland, not the movie, but the place.
It was supposed to be a place where the ideas of science and exploration and medicine and all the things that we've grown in over the last three or four centuries, in such, particularly in the last century, so quickly, is able to grow without sort of versions of politics holding it down. It was able to grow because it was pure, and they just said, "This is the smartest people. These are the most interested people." All working for the same goal, which is to make their world better, and hope that can spread.
Yeah. So, and
I now like the movie.
You like the movie? See, you're getting some more insight into why.
It makes sense.
But then what you do see in the movie is that even in the absence of that, people are political because they have their own agendas.
Mm-hmm.
And that was how it came out, is that even when you start out with that ideal that you're getting the best and the brightest, everybody still has their agenda.
And Hugh Laurie
did a great job.
We don't want to say any more than that, but Hugh Laurie has a great great part in the film. And here's what he has to say about Tomorrowland.
Tomorrowland is a better alternative. It is a better future. It's the better future that a small number of people dared to conceive, and pursued as their own private project, at a time. Or soon after a time when actually private innovation was a very, very powerful force in America. You know, the Walt Disneys and Henry Fords and so on, who were these gigantic engines of development and economic change and scientific exploration. And so this was at a time when people didn't necessarily look to the government to steer an entire nation on a national path. This was a time when a handful of very, very bright, very dedicated people could set off on these explorations.
Yeah, so I mean, I think you're starting to like the movie a little bit more.
With the backstory.
Yeah, the backstory. I mean, if you look into it, even the Feed the Light Wolf instead of the Dark Wolf, I mean, I thought that you would have really liked that theme as well.
I did.
Yeah?
And that's it. Okay. No, I mean, yeah, I remember that was, it just, yeah. Maybe I have to see it again.
You know, I did really enjoy the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah.
And of course, when I went there and you see that apartment there, you know, and you're able to look in, you're not able to go in, but you're able to look in through the glass. I like the way that they incorporated that. And like Hugh Laurie said, all these great minds and thinkers and everything. But it brought something to my mind. Are we, as far as I know, there haven't been any more World's Fairs.
No, there hasn't. There haven't. It's been a long time.
Look at Balboa Park in San Diego. That started out because of the World's Fair. The world-famous San Diego Zoo was using all these animals that were left after the World's Fair.
And
that's how it started. And then Small World, Disney, the Eiffel Tower. There's so many things that we have that are incredible.
Yeah.
What happened?
I don't know. And hopefully, maybe someone will see, or enough people will see, these positive thinkers will see the movie and get these ideas out of it, and maybe we'll see another World's Fair. Because my mom said that her father, so my grandfather, always wanted to go to the World's Fair. Mm-hmm. He missed it, you know, a couple times, and then it just went away. And
my this parents was many, went to many the years World's ago. Fair in New York.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. they just stopped. He said, I think the last year, he said, you know, I'm going to go to it next year. And then it was never again. So, you know, that's really quite sad, because we do need this positive thinking and these, you know, things
well,
that just keep moving forward.
Well, and it brings countries and worlds together and makes you realize it is a small world. And you have a lot of things in common with others instead of all the things we don't have in common.
Yeah. And one thing that I really liked the movie was the production design, just the look of the movie. Greg and I are going to take a look at some special effects next week with San Andreas. Reyes on our natural disaster show, but you know, sticking with Tomorrowland, Hugh Laurie also had some comments on the production design of Tomorrowland, and here are those thoughts.
I find the sets absolutely magnificent. I mean, almost overwhelmingly so. It's sort of daunting to actually think this has all been built so that I can stand here and say this speech. And it's, you know, you're looking at essentially the, you know, Cairo has been, the equivalent of Cairo has been built behind you. It's daunting. The scale of it is absolutely magnificent. Of course, the futurist side of it, the great thing is, I mean, I'm sure every designer, whether it's costumes or hair or sets or whatever it might be, of course, they thrill to the possibilities of futurist design, because they're not, you know, they're not really tied to anything. They can let themselves run free, and they do. But I think that the design is absolutely spectacular.
I agree.
Oh, as soon as he started talking about it, I remembered the swimming pools.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you know what? My
that
gosh.
That was so amazing.
That was so amazing. I would love to just watch that.
Yes. Yeah.
That was phenomenal.
And someone had to think of that.
I know. I mean, and wasn't it cool?
Yes. Yes. And
how'd they do that?
It's all special effects. And then Greg and I are going to kind of talk about some part of the... Yeah. So, yeah, I had some conversations with my uncle in Illinois about, because he also saw the film, and that's the one thing that he and his grandson mm-hmm. took away from watching the movie, the swimming pools.
Oh, so, I think that's such an awesome idea. I would love to go to a water park like that.
Yeah, and we need more positive thinkers that you know, are moving forward in this direction. And again, the end of the movie, I don't want to reveal it, but you just think about some of those things that we see at the end of the movie that involve the pin. Some of these people that exist in life and in our own everyday lives that, you know, these are positive thinkers. One of those positive thinkers is production designer Scott Chambliss, who also has some comments on Tomorrowland.
The types of environments we're in are all over the place. We're in something that was built in the 1890s. We go back to 1964 in a farm upstate New York and the New York World's Fair, by the way. Then we come back into 2014, where Casey is living her life in a kind of depressed area in Florida now, the Space Coast, and there's no space to aspire to these days. But in her 2014 kind of depressed place, she gets a hit of a 1984 version of a 2000-something future world. And it's playing with all of those different worlds and finding the theme that unites them all visually and emotionally has been great fun.
Yeah, some positive thinkers and whatnot. Just two more here. Jeffrey Chernov, another producer on the film, he has some comments on Tomorrowland's appeal. And again, not the movie's appeal, but the land that it's talking about.
Tomorrowland has to be a place you want to go, and once you're there, you don't want to leave. So everything about it has to be extremely appealing. And when you're there, it's almost like I like sailing, and the minute I step off of land onto a boat, I decompress. For some people, it's skiing. For other people, so whatever it is that makes you kind of like lose all that stress that builds up, that's what Tomorrowland is. To me, it was an opportunity to create a place where when people looked at it, they would just relax and enjoy it.
Yeah, and again, you know, I view that as Disneyland and Disney World in general. You go there and you kind of like take a break from life for a little while, right?
Suspend yeah. reality.
Exactly, exactly. And finally, Brad Bird, director of the film, he wants to sell us on seeing the film, sell our listeners on seeing Tomorrowland. Here's what he has to say about the story.
It's more about the journey than it is about the destination. It's not, we don't just go there and hang out, and it's more about being implanted with a vision and then pursuing the vision, and who are these characters, and how do they know each other, and how do they relate to this. And it's a little bit of mystery, a little bit of road movie, a little adventure, a little comedy, little action film. It's kind of a lot of things mixed together, and I think in a very new way.
Yeah, so again, two thumbs up for Tomorrowland, and Dave, really strong thumbs down, but maybe you're leaning toward just a mild thumbs down now?
Yeah, it might be changing.
Okay,
The clock is changing. It's moving. It's ticking upward. Well,
that's George Clooney's appeal.
Well, and also with Dave, the more he sees movies, like when he saw like the first Pirates of the Caribbean movie, you had to see it four or five times, and you're like, wow, that's fascinating each time.
No,
you
it's true. I was tired the first time. I didn't, the first one I liked, but the second one, I had no clue because I fell asleep. But I saw it second time. I go, wow, look what I missed.
Now, I have never been on the Grand Fiesta Tour starring the three caballeros, including Donald Duck, Frozen's best friend.
Oh. And this is Breakthrough Entertainment, live, 1480 AM, KPHX in Phoenix. We'll be right back.
We have the stars to guide us. Guitars here beside us. Play as we go. We sing and we samba. We shout. What means I caramba?
Oh, yes. I don't know.